Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study in our Errors of Calvinism series titled Limited Atonement. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Or send letters along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry. Address to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at our website, bbfohio.com, using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at bbfohio.com. We now begin this study in our Errors of Calvinism series titled Limited Atonement. This is part one of two. Continue our series on Errors of Calvinism. And this one is the L, Limited Atonement. Right after current events update. First of all, about impeachment. I just want to explain this. I get people asking this all the time. If Congress impeaches, votes to impeach President Trump, that really doesn't mean anything. It's just a political ploy. It then has to go to the U.S. Senate where they will hold a trial. And if they convict him by a two-thirds vote on any of the charges, then they could remove him from office. That is very, very unlikely. They would have to get like 20 Republicans to vote with Democrats. And if you've been watching any of the impeachment hearings, it's a load. Every president has looked at foreign countries and said, if you want our help, you've got to do this. Every president in American history has been guilty of quid pro quo. Every one of them. And it's just because Democrats are devils. They're a bunch of communists, and they're abusing our Constitution to try to remove a president they don't like. And this would never happen under the Republicans because there's too many Republicans that respect the Constitution. Truth be known, there's a number of Democrats who don't like this either, but there's nothing new about it because you got that whack job named Pelosi, who's the Speaker of the House, and you got Adam full of Schiff, who is the chairman. And the guy that he looks like what's his name? Is it Gollum on Lord of the Rings? That's what he looks like. Let me see. My wife wants me to show you something, so I'm going to. Both. It's both. It's like if you see one, you've seen the other. Okay, you know what I mean? Wait. Everybody look. Here it is. There's the chairman of the impeachment. Shifty Shift.
Yeah, marbles look beautiful. Why can't we, you don't have a side-by-side comparison?
Don't need it. They look the same. You see one, you see the other. The second thing we want to talk about is the Chick-fil-A flop. They have bowed to the sodomites. It's sad but true. Here's the Wall Street Journal editorial board posted this response. Chick-fil-A concedes. Under political pressure, the chicken chain cuts off the Salvation Army. They also cut off the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and one other group. It was a boys' home. I can't remember. I might say in one of these articles here, but it's just sickening to watch Christians bow to Sodom. Now, I know I'm not going to offend anybody in this room, and I know I'm not going to offend most of our regular viewers and everything, but I just want this on the record over and over and over every time it comes up. This preacher will never bow.
Amen. Thank you.
Sodom is wicked. Sodomite marriage is a blasphemous farce. I don't call them by their names. They want to be called all these names, homosexual, gay, or whatever. If you do, once in a while, it's a slip because of our culture. But when we do that, we're borderline on being liars. They're not homosexual. Look that term up. It's a totally farce word. It doesn't even mean what it claims to mean. And they're not gay. They're miserable. So they just should call themselves miserables instead of gays. But I'm not going to bow to it. And if it gets to where nobody in my life outside of our Bible-believing church will talk to me, so be it. That's the way it's going to be. And I'm telling you, we'd have more people in the pews if, A, we would bow or they would not be Laodicean lukewarm apostates. That's what we're dealing with. Fox Business reported this way, Chick-fil-A infuriates conservative customers by caving to LGBTQ protests. Fast food chain Chick-fil-A's devoted conservative fan base dealt the company some harsh criticism, and I'm thankful for that. I wasn't sure how people would respond. After it cut off support for three groups that oppose gay marriage and have drawn the ire of protesters. Now listen to this, I'm not going to go through it all, but they had been giving the Fellowship of Christian Athletes $2.4 million last year to help underprivileged youth go to Christian athletic camps. Souls saved. Lives changed. And they flushed it. And they're going to be hurting. And then there's the Salvation Army. And the other one is Paul Anderson Youth Homes they cut out. Conservatives who stood by the restaurant in 2012 when CEO Dan Cathy said in several interviews that he didn't support gay marriage say the company has abandoned them. In more recent interviews, Cathy, who is the son of Chick-fil-A's founder, has reiterated his personal beliefs, but says he treats all customers with respect. Of course, we do. All of us do. If you're Christian, you treat people with respect. But if they need rebuke, you tell them. If they're wicked, you tell them. If they need to be rebuked, you tell them. Salvation Army said in a statement that it was saddened by Chick-fil-A's decision. We serve more than 23 million individuals a year, including those in the LGBTQ plus community, the Salvation Army told Fox Business in a statement. In fact, we believe we are the largest provider of poverty relief to the LGBTQ plus population. Those are sodomites. When misinformation is perpetuated without fact, our ability to serve those in need, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, religion, or any other factor, is at risk. And Chick-fil-A, this is a couple of these conservative talk show hosts, Newsmax host, John Cordillo, I think is how you pronounce his name. Chick-fil-A had invaluable brand loyalty because of their beliefs and convictions. Their customers were brand ambassadors who appreciated that they stood their ground while the rest of corporate America caved to leftist radicals. Read that as sodomites. Now they're just another fast food chicken place. Another one named Allie Beth Stuckey, conservative commentator, said, LOL, Chick-fil-A's just abandoned the only people who were defending them against these insatiable woke wolves. Good luck. Yeah. That's the point. It will never be enough. And conservatives, I'm telling you, mainstream conservatives in this country are stupid. And they just don't learn. You do not compromise with liberals. You do not compromise with sodomites. They will never be satisfied. And that's the truth. After everybody said after we just give them gay marriage, they'd let us alone. Are they leaving you alone? No, they're not. They're still kind of trying to shut you down if you're anything but a brazen sodomite. Just like when they came after Lot, they were not satisfied. He even offered his virgin daughters to them. And that wasn't good enough. Sickening. Newsweek demonstrates how they'll never be satisfied. As a result of this story I just was telling you about, that was Fox Business perspective. Newsweek says Chick-fil-A doesn't rule out supporting anti-gay groups. That's their way of looking at it. They're not thankful that they're getting their way and Chick-fil-A's dropped Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's not good enough. Chick-fil-A doesn't rule out supporting anti-gay groups after dropping three charities. They want it all. And they want you to bow. The sodomites want you to bow. And until you do, it is not enough. Here's the Newsweek article. Chick-fil-A said it is unable to rule out donating money to anti-gay charities in the future. That's their first line. After getting their way, not enough. Says, I don't know who this Tassopoulos is, but said, I think this is from the Chick-fil-A statement. No organization will be excluded from future consideration, faith-based or non-faith-based. So they're saying Salvation Army and others can still be considered. But if they're going to rule out those who are against gay marriage, then they'll never give money to them until they bow. Chick-fil-A did not return a request for comment seeking to clarify whether the company might consider giving money to organizations such as the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or the Salvation Army in the future, or whether religious groups opposed to same-sex relationships might benefit from their donations. They want Chick-fil-A to promise never to support real Christians again. Following the announcement, GLAAD, which is gay, lesbian, blah, 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 said they were skeptical that Chick-fil-A are, now listen to what they want, fully committed to ending their association with perceived anti-LGBTQ organizations, or even moving away from its own conservative views. Get it. They want you to be a libtard devil like them, or they'll never be satisfied. Because of that, that's why I say this. America's days are numbered, because even among so-called Republicans, even among so-called evangelicals, they're bowing. Chick-fil-A is just the latest to sell out. Hosea 8:7 warns, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Coming to America. We can only pray that it comes after the rapture. Otherwise, if something happens, you can all come out to our place. We'll set up a tent city. I'm only half kidding. Only half kidding. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer before we get into our Bible study. Father, we do hate what we see going on to our country, but we know you hate it even more. We know you are disgusted with the wickedness, and you will eventually destroy all the wicked. And so we leave it up to you. You have said vengeance belongs to you. But we do pray with a heavy heart looking at our nation. We're thankful for the reprieve that you've given us with a Trump presidency that has been very friendly to Christians, and also with the fact that the Republicans controlling the Senate have kept a lot of liberal programs from going through and have continued to put conservative and sometimes Christian judges on the bench. And that may even save lives eventually. And we are so thankful for our president. And we're so thankful for, I never thought I'd say this, for Mitch McConnell and the other Republicans who are putting these judges on the bench. We're thankful for the reprieve, and we pray you have mercy on the stupid Christians that we're surrounded by, so many of them that don't even have enough sense to know how good you've been to us. It's just a shame to look around and see some of the people and some of the things they say and do. And Lord, it's just like looking at people with no sense at all. But the book of Proverbs talks a lot about those people. And we just pray, Lord, that those who have truly are saved, if they're really Christians, your Holy Spirit would bring them to their knees, that they would be thankful. As we go into this Thanksgiving holiday, that Christians would be thankful. We deserve nothing. And we certainly deserve nothing like we've had over the last couple of years. Lord, you be praised. And help us now as we go into our Bible study. Help us to maintain the biblical truth. We're not interested in isms. We're not interested in following men or a man or a denomination. We want to follow the Bible. And we specifically want to follow the King James Bible. We pray your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Limited atonement is what we're going to study tonight. It's the L in TULIP, and it's another error of Calvinism. Some of you memorize this verse. You may not turn there if you don't want to, but John 3:16 is where I want to start. John 3:16. We kind of skipped through John 3. There's a lot of great verses in here that you could memorize. Of course, John 3:7, marvel not that it said unto thee, you must be born again. But look at verse 15. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So right there it says, whosoever. Then in verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world. Notice that? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It does not say, for God so loved the elect. Amen. And that's what it would say if limited atonement were true. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is your the word God and Son both capitalized there?
Yes.
Good. That whosoever, that means whosoever. I believe I quoted Moody a while back. Dale Moody said that the elect are the whosoever, and the non-elect are the whosoever won't.
Yep.
And that's how it, what it comes down to. God so loved the elect, no, the world, as we said. And I don't have time to go into all this, but if you read your Bible, you're going to see where it says God hates the wicked. It says that. Don't change your Bible. Adjust your thinking. Amen? And I've quoted that just because there are people who say God loves everybody. And you know, especially people who basically try to say you don't even need to be saved. God's, you know, Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and paid for all of our sins, so we're all saved. And like, no, that's not right. And those are the two extremes. You have limited atonement and the TULIP in general. Then you also have this universalism goes the other way. Calvinists, only the elect, and it's usually just Calvinists that they believe are saved. And then you have this other Christian universalism. And we're neither one. We are Bible believers. But we have this article on our website. It's titled, The God Who Hates Unrepentant Sinners Loves You. In other words, what it says is, it's not an emotional thing with God, but God hates sin. And if you are lost, you are the direct recipient of his hate and anger and wrath. But it's not an oxymoron with God. It might be a paradox, but it's true. God can love the world and yet hate the wicked at the same time. What that means is he's provided for your salvation, but as long as you're rebellious and wicked and rejecting that salvation, you are going to receive his wrath and the result of his hate. And we've got that article online. You can go read that sometime for a little discussion on that. But Calvinism teaches that Jesus' blood / death. I say that because certain Calvinists that say that blood doesn't matter. MacArthur and some of those guys. But whether you want to, you know, deal with the Calvinists who believe in the blood or those who don't, we'll just word it this way to cover them all. Calvinism teaches that Jesus' blood / death was only for the elect. And we reject that. That brings us to the L in TULIP. We studied total inability. We studied unconditional election. And limited atonement is now the L. And that's the idea that Jesus only died to pay for the sins of the elect. Now, atonement, according to the King James Bible, means a full payment to satisfy our sin debt and reconcile us to God. and your sins have been atoned for. Now, you also get this definition if you're a Calvinist. It's the full payment to satisfy the sin debt of the elect and reconcile them only to God. So there's the main difference we have with them. It's over the definition of what the atonement is. Now, I have to say this. If T and U are true, total inability and unconditional election, if they're true, it's only reasonable to believe that Jesus only paid for the sins of a frozen few. Now, that's how most of these people get to limited atonement. They believe in total inability. We're not going to re-preach those. Go back and watch them online if you missed them. But they believe in total inability, and they believe in unconditional election. And then they reason in their mind then that if God only enabled a chosen few to be saved, and he unconditionally elected those chosen few, then he only came to die for those chosen, frozen. It's so ludicrous that you get these kinds of statements in an effort to explain. You go read Calvinist writings on this stuff, it's like reading a liberal talking about the Constitution. It is. It's just amazingly nonsensical. But here's Piper. What? Quote, "You begin to see how closely this doctrine of the atonement is connected with the previous one, irresistible grace." See, I told you. T and U leads to the L. What I think the Bible teaches is that this very irresistible grace is purchased by the blood of Jesus. Now, he's not a good McCarthyite, or MacArthurite. But he continues, "The new birth is blood-bought, the effectual call is blood-bought, the gift of repentance is blood-bought." Now, I got to stop there. It's true, the blood of Jesus bought our new birth, but only if we believe. That's not what he believes. He believes the blood of Jesus bought the new birth, and if you're elect, God forces it on you. You're actually born again before you even hear the gospel, according to these guys. Sure, we talked about it in previous study. And when he says the effectual call, we believe God calls all. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." So we believe that. But see, when he uses the word effectual, what he means is when God picks out an elect and calls them, they can't say no. That's the effectual call. And he's saying that's what Jesus died for. Died so that he could force people to be born again before they even hear the gospel. He could call them with an effectual call they can't say no to. And the gift of repentance, again, we believe that repentance is a gift that's provided to those who receive the word of God, but that's not how they would explain that. It goes on to say, none of these acts of what? Irresistible grace is deserved. So you can see how he's totally twisting this. And this is what will drive you mad. If you know what they mean, it'll drive you crazy trying to read it. He concludes his quote here, and this is, by the way, from an article on his website, What We Believe About the 5 Points of Calvinism. He continues and says, those things, the new birth, the effectual call, the gift of repentance, they came to us because Christ secured them by his blood and righteousness. But that means, listen, it's hard for me to read this straight face. This is what he said. But that means he did not secure them for all in the same way. Otherwise, all would be born again, and all would be effectually called, and all would receive the gift of repentance. End quote. In other words, first you totally destroy what those words mean, and then build this idea that since Jesus' blood paid so that you'd be forced to be saved with no consciousness of yourself at all, not even hearing the gospel, he says, then if this was for all, then everybody would be saved.
So he's saying that you're either a Calvinist or you're a universalist, and those are the only two choices.
Yes. He's painting a false choice.
You have no choice if you're elect.
Yes, but he's also saying that your only choice in your doctrine and your belief system is to either believe in Calvinism or Universalism. They do that all the time. They do it with Arminianism. If you're not a Calvinist and you've experienced this, you talk to a Calvinist and when you start to refute Calvinism, they'll say, oh, you're one of those Arminians. No, I'm not. I'm a Bible believer. See? But that's what they like to do is paint you into a heretical corner using their own language. We use some of the same language too, but then they pour in it different definitions. So they're saying some of the same things we would say, using some of the same words, but they don't mean what you mean. That's the way it is. That's why I say it's cultic. You talk to a Mormon, they'll talk about being saved, but they don't mean what you mean. They'll talk about Jesus being divine, but they mean he's a created divine being, which means he's not God, because God's eternal. God's not created. See what I'm saying? So you got to be careful when you talk to people. I say this, but I don't mean to be forceful, just to be tactful. Make them define their terms. Because you'll find all kinds of people out there saying, oh, I'm saved. We gave a tract to a fellow at McDonald's out in Plain City. Gave him a tract, and he acted like he was excited to receive it. And I gave it to him. And I said, oh, you're a believer? You're saved? He says, oh, I have been my whole life. See, he'll tell people he's saved. I'm sorry, but you weren't born saved. You've got to be born again, and there's got to be a time in your life where you know you got that settled. So, that's what you're dealing with. In other words, to summarize, as I said a moment ago, he's saying that if T and U are true, then Jesus only died for the elect. That's the bottom line the case he's trying to make. But those T and U are not true. Look over to Isaiah 53. Of course, most of us should be familiar with Isaiah. Where am I at there? 53, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. They're all good. But verses 5 and 6, and this is talking about the atonement, his death on the cross. Verse 4 tells us, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now read 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, it just says, for whose iniquities? Ours. It's just a blanket statement. It's not talking about the elect. There's nothing in that text to limit his being bruised for iniquities to only the elect. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. Doesn't limit it to just the elect. Now read verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of the elect. Oh, I'm sorry, of us all. It doesn't say it. God laid on him the iniquity of the elect. And what's so aggravating to me is God has made it so simple. And it's theologians and people who just refuse to accept the simplicity who turn it into this. And over and over, I'll tell you, this is a stumbling block for people. Satan uses this stuff to keep people from coming to Christ. They'll have to answer for it. We know that they reject the light and love the darkness because their deeds are evil. But along with that, the Bible also says that we even can be a stumbling block to somebody. And we don't want to be a stumbling block. And if you're running around teaching this kind of stuff, you're being a stumbling block to people. We'll go back to this in a minute, but I'm telling you.